The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
What's up?
In the hizzy. How you doing, man? You good?
Good, man. How you doing?
What do you think? Button down maybe a little bit? Looks a little...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Button down.
Right, just making sure. Crack on the show today. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crack Man, as we do each and every Thursday. Paul Carr will be here. A little Premier League picks a little day earlier than we normally have Paulie in the house. And we'll get into some other stuff here on the show as well, beginning with, shall we, with a little Survivor exercise. You want a little Survivor exercise before we get into tonight's game?
Let's go.
Just because I was just looking at these, I was looking at the slate, trying to put ourselves in the shoes of the 30 remaining contestants, person slash group. Nobody has multiple entries left, but of the 30 remaining folks who are in this contest, it's Circus Survivor, which is for $9.267 million, or perhaps the Survivor contest that you are still part of in your neck of the woods of this country. That was very Today Show of me, by the way. I guess the first question before we get into this game tonight, how many of the 30, let's just, because it's an easy way to make a percentage on 30, right? How many do you think take the Steelers? They're going to be widely available. Widely available. As opposed to, say, the Ravens, right, Sunday morning, which we won't throw into this mix, hosting the Rams, because most people, I would imagine, if not all of you, use the Ravens. Would you take the Steelers? Here are your choices. You want some choices? You got some choices.
Yeah, give me choices.
Steelers tonight hosting the Patriots.
Okay.
By the way, just to give you a gauge of the market, they're 6-point favorites tonight against the Patriots. The New Orleans Saints, 4.5, 5-point favorites, somewhere in that pocket, hosting the Carolina Panthers. They're going to be, I would say, popular as well. Someone might go for the Texans, 3.5-point favorites, on the road against the Jets. I don't think people have the Niners left. They might be, maybe they do. I don't think so. So we're not going to include that one in the mix here. But those are the two, and the Dolphins, obviously, or the Packers. Okay, so your choices are the Steelers tonight,
yeah,
hosting the Patriots, the Saints hosting the Panthers, or the Packers on the road against the Giants on Monday night, the second of the two Monday night games. You're a Survivor player. That's your choice. Who do you take?
Yikes.
This is
okay.
Great.
I'm not going Steelers.
You are not going
not
Steelers.
Not going
tonight.
Steelers. As much as I have been picking on the Patriots this whole season in the past few weeks, I'm still not going Steelers. I think I'm going with the most likely Jameis Winston led.
Oh my God.
New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Because the Carolina Panthers are that bad. Look, the Packers have been hot recently. I don't think that would be a bad call either. I think that the Giants with a... I'm kind of surprised this isn't being talked about more, but I'm pretty sure Tyrod Taylor is completely healthy and back at practice, and they are fully going Tommy DeVito at this point.
That became aware to everybody here over the last couple days. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, he can play, but they're going DeVito.
I don't know if I've ever seen a bigger just white flag signaled on a season than that. It's pretty massive. So I think if you wanted to go Packers, I don't think you're going.
All right,
I don't think it's wrong there.
Of the three games I mentioned happen to fall into the category of the team, the underdogs in those three games, Patriots, Panthers, Giants, among the three worst teams in the NFL, if not the three worst teams, would part of your assessment would have to be who you truly believe is trying. Some people believe all three are trying. Some people believe none of them are trying. Some people believe some are and some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that would be like the biggest part of that handicap.
Yeah, that's a great call. And maybe then I'm picking on the worst team because I think the Panthers are still at... Like, they're trying and losing games, right? Like, they're trying and still just losing every game.
Right.
And at some point, you still have to try to continue. You have to try to continue to develop Bryce Young, right? Like, you're not just going to, unless they finally wave the white flag on the season, just don't want to get him to get hurt and put him on the bench. Until we see that, though, I think you got to assume this team's going out there and trying to win every game.
Panthers are the one that does not have their draft pick. So that would be the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I think the quickest knee jerk to that. Let's talk about tonight's game. We will circle back to Survivor. Steelers 6-point favorites in this game tonight. The total is at 30. We saw some 29.5s come up briefly.
Oh, did we?
We hit that? Okay. In some spots, but it's 30 right now. All right, so I think most people, by the way, it's Zappy, Trubisky, catch the fever tonight. I'm going to the first NBA game, and then I'm coming home to watch this.
Oh, nice, okay.
What the hell am I doing?
It's amazing. Are you kidding me? We live in Las Vegas. We get to go to an NBA game that means something at 2 o'clock in the afternoon today.
I mean the fact that I'm leaving to go watch this game.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what
game.
You're doing there.
Yeah. Parles was like, you want to go? I'm like, I kind of think I'm going to watch the NFL game. All right, so listen, we know all the facts about the Patriots. 5-game losing streak. They've averaged 9.4 points a game over those last five. That's almost impossible. 9.4 points a game over their last five. They've scored 13 total points in their last three games combined. Talk about impossible-er. Word. Impossible-er. They got no Ramondre. He's out against a fifth-ranked Pittsburgh defense, according to DVOA. Zappy, and I get it, there was weather in the game against the Chargers, but he ranks 44th out of 45 qualified quarterbacks in success rate. The only player he's ahead of, Tim Boyle. Oh, God. Then they got DeMario Douglas. He's out tonight. Devontae and Juju, they're questionable. I don't think the Steelers are a big drop-off from Pickett to Trubisky. I don't think most people do.
It's huge, I think there is a drop-off, but I don't think it's sizable at all.
Najee's going to be a game-time decision. I don't think there's anybody who thinks it's a drop-off to Jalen Warren. If anything, it's a step up.
That's been another crazy story for Pittsburgh this year. Like, the 1 week Tomlin was like, all right, Jalen Warren, like, he's the guy going forward, and then Najee Harris had, like, his best game.
I want to love Najee. He's a great kid.
Me too.
Great kid, but it just never, like, every time he gets the ball, you're like, what a wasted play this is.
No, totally, but then, like, it feels like the past couple weeks, he's had some of his better weeks ever since he's, like, been put on the hot seat.
That's true. Then they also have a left guard by the name of Isaac Sumalo, who's also a game-time decision, but the dude who filled in for him last week, Nate Herbig, actually played very well. Let me make the case, though. Can I do a performative exercise?
Sure.
I'm not saying I'm betting the Patriots, but everybody's going to tell you why the Steelers, you know, are justified as a 6-point favorite. But let's have an exercise as to why you might justify the Patriots here.
Real quick, is that the vibe you're getting? Like, are you getting the vibe that this is, like, a lot of people are loaded up on the Steelers side?
I'm getting the vibe no one's touching the side.
Okay, and that's where I'm at. Yeah. Okay.
But I just want to make a case. I'm not getting a vibe that they're taking the Patriots either.
No, that's where I was going to laugh at the Survivor exercise because as much as I talked about not wanting to take the Steelers here, I'd still lay 6 points with the Steelers.
Well, that's what
before.
I mean.
Yeah.
So let's just go. I'm not saying I'm doing this, but just for the giggles of this, let's go through why one might justify betting the Patriots. Okay. So I mentioned, 3 games now, they've scored a grand total of 13 points. Kelly Billen, do you know that they've outgained their opponents in every one of those games? Outgained in total yardage, right? As we've talked about on Guessing Lines, we just don't put them together week to week. But in each one of those games, they've outgained their opponents by an average of 52 yards a game. They lost to the Colts 10-6. They outgained them 340-264, or -1 in turnovers. The Giants game, they lost 10-7. They outgained the Giants 283-220. They were -2 in turnovers. Those accounted for all the Giants' points. Chargers this past week, they outgained them not by as much, 257-241, but also -1 in turnovers. Also, and by the way, the Patriots defense ranks second in rushing defense, DVOA. And the Steelers, if you go into some metrics, have the second highest early down run rate in neutral situations. We get that from Sean Kerner over there at the Action Network. So shout out to him for that. But if you go into each one of those three games where they outgain their opponents, all right, work with me. I know a lot of people are like, I don't know. I'm just trying to make a case. In that game against the Colts, which they lost 10-6, and they had a -1 turnover differential, but they outgained them 340-264. They had a 2nd-and-12. You may remember this at the Indianapolis 15 with 4:24 to go in that game. Mac Jones picked by Julian Blackmon. okay, they were there. They were right there to win that ball game. The Giants game, as I said, -2 in turnovers. Those led directly to all 10 Giants points. They held the Giants to 10 first downs. That is it. That's it. 10
My
first downs.
Favorite
time of the year. Remember, that was the game where there was the horrible Jones pick. Remember the one where you, like,
oh, it was
as
glorious.
You watched it, you were like, what? Oh, you had the Giants.
The Giants.
I was like, what was that pass? And then Zappe had a pick late as well when they were matriculating the ball down the field. The Jones one was horrible. Yeah. And then the Chargers game this past week. Not as dramatic as that, but they did get it to 4th and 5 at the Chargers 30, and then Zappe was sacked by Derwin James on a 4th down play where you're like, are they even trying? So I'm just saying, in all three of those games, they outgained them. Yes, it was the turnover, so you have to sort of ask yourself, is it the turnovers that is the norm and will be, quote-unquote, the sustainable thing? I know that's not the way you want to talk about sustainable. Or is the fact that they outgained their opponent and their defense is really good, and that if it were not for those turnovers, which are, let's face it, more random typically for NFL teams, that they're actually that is actually the sustainable part, that the Patriots have just been unlucky to some degree.
Oh, I think
as I say that, I'm like, I'm just trying.
I think when you talk about any team that bad, it's a combination of both.
You can't be this bad, right?
Right. Like, it's a combination of some bad luck with your poor play as well. I think one I will be interested in. I'm trying to find a number. I don't see.
Did I make you want to take the Patriots +6 or the Patriots +3.5?
No, not at all. But I think Ezekiel Elliott rushing plus receiving yards could be a good look over tonight.
By the way, he's not much of a drop off. I know people think he is, but if you go into the stats, he's not much of a drop off from Ronder.
He's been pretty good for this year. Yeah. When I've seen, but yeah, Stevenson's going to be out, and then what? You've got a quarterback that's going to be looking to dump it down all night with pressure.
The biggest case of always is the total's 30. Don't you just take the points?
I mean, yes. Like that, the 6 points are worth a whole lot more than 6 with the total set at 30.
This has been a performative exercise from a numbers game here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We're coming back talking some hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game live from Bar Canada here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Yesterday, as most of you surely know by now, there was a shooting at UNLV. In these situations, we're a sports betting network. You always, weigh whether or not you get into anything that's not on the sports betting landscape, not sports at all. But I felt it was a little more awkward to not even bring it up specifically here today than to bring it up. And specifically because something, with one of our listeners is tied to this. Three people dead, one person in stable condition after the shooting. The shooter has now been identified. The victims have not quite been. But we have we read tweets all the time on this show. And some of our listeners are more regular than others. And we have someone who goes by the name of Ray Pierce, who tweets us all the time. And he was DMing me all day yesterday. And I just wanted to sort of share this. And it's literally the least I can do for Ray, who's really struggling today, because even though that's not his new name, his real name, he wanted to share that he used to teach there at UNLV. And he started by saying, giving me his background. And he said, my friend that still teaches there did not get his text in time to tell him what was going on. So he arrived and went up to the 4th floor at Beam. That was the hall where the shooting took place. He said he's worried because the faculty member in the office next to him is unaccounted for. And she left her purse and everything in there with the door open. That was my office, Ray said. I would have been in that office had I stayed at UNLV. When it finally struck him that the alarms were not a drill, but something was happening, he took off down the stairs and saw blood on the entire stairwell. Then when he got outside, he could actually hear shots. He thinks they were going on when he was in the building, but the alarms were so loud that he couldn't hear them. Ray goes on to say, I live in Reno now, and that's where I am. I'm just waiting on the news of the unaccounted for faculty member. He said, because I said to him, I go, do you mind if I share this on there? He goes, I give you complete permission to do so. I just want to let you know what he said was, he goes on to say, and I just want to get to the right part of this. He said, nobody has heard from that faculty member. An administrator for the college sent out a mass email asking everyone to check in, and everyone has done so except for her. I don't feel it's my right to share her name, so I won't, but I'll keep a close eye out for news about her. But the most probable news is the worst news. I was in the accounting department, so if you see any news about a female professor in the accounting department, that would be her. To clarify, I mean teaching accounting, not doing the accounting for the school. I've always read about people that have to live with a thought that someone died in their place and always wondered how you would deal with that. I may be about to find out. I'll let you know either way. And he goes on to say, and I want to quote, he goes, you know, and he goes on to say other things that he doesn't want me to share. But essentially, if he had stuck around, he'd still be in that office. And he said, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you. I want to get the exact quote here. But he said, he says, I don't know why I reached out to you in your show, but it's a big part of my daily life. It's the only one that I listen to undistracted and the only one that I make sure I listen to every day. So for Ray Pierce, whose tweets we read all the time in lighter times and we joke with him and we laugh with him, he's going through this today. Can't imagine. Obviously, the biggest thing is the victims and their families. But just it touched our show a little bit, and I just wanted to bring that up today because that's I was texting back and forth with him yesterday. This stuff is, you know, we tend to think of it as a detached thing.
Yeah.
And when it gets really close to, obviously, we went through the most horrific mass shooting in the history of this country 6 years ago when we were on air. So this is just, you know, the latest one. And Ray Pierce, our hearts go out to you on this
absolutely. Day. Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Ray's been tweeting into the shows for I don't know how many years. Back to the primetime action days for sure of when we were doing that together. Just another horrible tragedy.
From his perspective, he says they have actually identified. We don't know that they have. There's no public notion of any word of the victims having been identified, but he apparently knows that it was in fact her. And so imagine being that guy today.
Yeah, it's wild. And we work with a lot of people, you know, here at VSIN too, that, you know, went to UNLV or, you know, have family friends that work there too. I know that we're going through that yesterday too. So it's tough, horrible, just a horrible, horrible thing that keeps happening in this country.
There is no artful way to segue from that, but I did want to share that just as a open door thing that we've always had with you guys on this show. But just down the road from that, today, at T-Mobile Arena, and I do mean just down the road, about a mile away if you just go right down Harmon, it's the in-season tournament semifinals today, which I'll be attending, you'll be attending. You're going to both games today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's start with the first one, which is the Pacers and the Bucks, where the total is now set deep into the 150s on this.
It's up there. 157, Gil.
157. Now, when they played once already this year, it was 126-124, so they got to 250 in that one. Dame Lillard didn't even play in that game. Halliburton went off in that game. You know who went off in that game was Benedict Mathurin. He had a great game in there. But Lillard will be playing in this one. Giannis, without Lillard in that first game, dropped 54.
Mm-hmm.
54 and 12. He was 19 of 25 from the field in that game, 16 of 18 from the free throw line. Some may say the Pacers sort of designed it that way. They're like, we'll let him kill us and nobody else. This is 5.5 points. The Bucks are favored. As Kelly said, the total 257. Let me just ask you about the total. All right, because we do this in the NFL, right? When a West Coast team travels to the East Coast and this stuff. This is a weird day game.
Right.
Weird 2 p.m. tip-off.
Neutral site. Jim, these guys haven't shot in before if you want to go all March Madness on it.
So the question, begs the question, at 257, even knowing that it's the Pacers, isn't that a little too high for an afternoon game?
It's absolutely massive. I mean, we're talking about one of, if not the highest totals in the NBA history of what we're going to see in this game tonight. Yeah, JVT talked about it yesterday. He was going to play the under mainly out of just mainly. I mean, JVT is as sharp as it gets when it comes to NBA and knowing all these and dealing with all the numbers and everything. He basically came on here yesterday and just said, I'm playing the under because it's so freaking high. Like, there's just out of principle a little bit.
The thing about that, though, is even as we're saying this, it's one of those betting experiences where you will know so quickly how dumb that handicap is, right? If it goes, because the Pacers are capable of crushing every.
So, total. I mean, just to put this in perspective, you're talking about Pacers right now with the top offensive rating in the league. They have the 29th ranked defensive rating in the league. Okay, the Bucks have the third offensive rating in the league and the 22nd defensive rating in the league. Both teams top five in pace. Pacers top in pace in the game. Bucks are fifth in pace in the NBA right now. Milwaukee, 8th in 3 points attempt. Indiana, 9th in 3 points attempt. Indiana, 3rd in 3 points made. Milwaukee, 8th in 3 points made. So what are you going to see? You're going to see an up and down basketball game with a lot of shots being put up, much like you saw in the Pacers first game in the quarterfinals game. So it's going to be crazy. I hear you with the total. I'm not going there. I'll see how the game starts. I mean, this is, we know they're going to be shooting a lot of threes. How have we approached live betting the NBA before? If some of those threes are missing early, yeah, I think there's going to be a live over opportunity in this game.
Pacers' whole game is to play threes. Yeah, exactly. Just play the math of the threes.
Yep, exactly. So I'm approaching this side in total as a complete live betting game. I think this number, if you were going to bet anything pregame, this number is getting a little out of hand with the Bucks laying five. They seem to get some resistance at 5.5, came back down. It's mainly fives everywhere now. I would still lean that side, Gil. I think that Giannis is going to be tough to stop in this matchup. There's not a perfect defender out there. Miles Turner will be picking up a lot of those responsibilities tonight. I played over his points and rebounds. The only thing I've played today is Giannis over points and rebounds. That's at 44.5, which is a massive number.
Oh my God.
The minutes are going to be up. The usage is going to be up. What we saw out of him last game, I think, is
right. The other theory would be, okay, now this is for real. Everybody's going to bear down on defense now. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I do think that I think Milwaukee, this is where I think these teams become a little different, right? Milwaukee with some of these guys, they've been there right to the mountaintop before. I think in this kind of game, they probably will slow things down a little bit. Indiana, it's the only way you play. The only way you play is fast and putting up threes. So I think we'll continue to see that out of them.
Tonight. Anything Lakers-Pels later?
No, nothing on that game. Would be a slightly into the under in that one. I do think we're going to see much more defensive basketball game there. I lean Pelicans. I thought I was going to get a better number than this. I really thought the Lakers would be more attractive. Lakers are getting bet today. It's up to 2.5 most places. I'll be looking to get a New Orleans ticket.
I'm pumped to go today, man.
Me too.
I'm afternoon basketball.
Oh, I'm excited. Both of these games should be awesome.
Get it done. We'll come back. Paul Carr on his Premier League picks this weekend. And a little NFL teaser time. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. Help millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, the right angle sports pick yesterday, we were going for 3-0 with right angle sports. I think we were ahead for 39 of the 40 minutes.
I didn't even want to ask you. Yeah, like, was it a rough ending?
It was a rough ending. Didn't get there with Detroit Mercy.
Like, I knew I wasn't going to watch it, so I just, you know, I'm getting my alerts just of, like, halftime and final score. Halftime, it was looking good. I think I checked in at one point in the second half. It was looking good. And then that final score came across my phone.
Till it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I texted Michael Craig from Right Angle afterwards. I was like, oh, we deserve better. He said, this is how my week has been going. He mentioned that when he was on with
us. Yeah, that's true. He did say
that. He's just in that rut. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch, happy Hanukkah to my favorite tribesmen.
Oh, that's right.
Thanks for letting me know it was Hanukkah.
Starts tonight. There you go.
now that you mentioned it, my mom did call last week. You know, Gilly, it's Hanukkah next week. Mike Stacks, did you hear that Tomlin is 0-6-1 against rookie coaches? If I knew that before last week, I would have never took the Steelers in Survivor. I would have taken the Ravens this week. Let's see. X Prime. Twitter loves Zeke receivers over receptions over. Yeah. Two, he says REC receptions over 2.5.
I didn't know Twitter loved that. But I think that's a good call by Twitter.
That's right.
Actually, I like
know.
That one.
A Joe named Jim. Wow, I can't even pinpoint what I'm feeling, but the Ray Pierce story is just wow.
Yeah.
I had to share that this morning. Okay, Paul Carr joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from True Media Networks, also the host of the Expected Value podcast from his lair in Topeka, Kansas. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good. Actually, just got back from MLB winter meetings this week. Met with a lot of MLB teams, had some fun out there at Opryland. So, yeah, it went pretty well.
The best tweet I saw about it, someone was saying, I wish I could quote it exactly, but someone goes, wow, it's like a walking immaculate grid in here.
It really is. I mean, I would love to just sit out in the lobby or the various lobbies and watch the baseball world go by. I mean, it's just, you see, you know, whether it's TV people, you see a lot of people that you half recognize. But, you know, it's like a GM and you've seen them in front of a podium, but there's no logo behind them and they're not wearing a suit and you can't place them. There's a lot of that or players you think you recognize, but not in uniform. And yeah, it's a lot of fun just hanging out and watching the baseball world mill by.
Juan Soto was indeed traded to the Yankees yesterday. Yeah. I see the World Series futures got to like 8-1 on that. Is there any Shohei buzz? Did you get any feeling about Shohei he might end up? No.
Soto was really the buzziest thing because I think it seemed imminent at the time. And then Ohtani is next, and talk to a couple agents who have players further down the list. And they say they're just on standby. Like everyone's waiting for Ohtani to happen. So your next, you know, tier of people, especially on the hitting side, can fall into place. So they're just waiting for the Soto domino that's fallen. Ohtani, I think, is next, and everyone just kind of going to wait for it to keep rolling downhill after that.
There's the Soto trade, by the way. Juan Soto and Trent Grisham go to the Padres. Padres send Michael King, Drew Thorpe, Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito, and Kyle Higashioka. Higashioka. I'm sorry. Tried to get that right.
Yeah, I thought that was a little
Here's the thing. I've heard some people try to make the case that this was like a good trade for the Padres. Stop it. It's not a good trade for the Padres. The Padres, it's so funny with Major League Baseball economics. They had all the money in the world. They went all in. Yeah. They spent all this money on these massive contracts for Machado and Bogarts and Yu Darvish. Who am I forgetting? One other. Fernando Tatis Jr. These long-term deals. And then it doesn't work out. Their TV deal goes by the wayside. They now want to keep it under $200 million. And Soto, who was on the only one more year, he was clearly going to be the guy they got rid of to help them get to that point. So it just shows you how Soto is going to be playing for his third team at the age of 25, which is just incredible that he has ended up in those situations now twice with the Nationals and the Padres. It's crazy.
I think the economics are just going to keep shifting really quickly, whether it's because of an owner who decides and then doesn't decide to spend money. Like, what are the Mets going to look like? You know, they got rid of Scherzer and DeGrom, and who knows what they'll look like going forward. You mentioned the RSN money. Like, that's changing. You know, teams are going to get a lot less money from that moving forward, but maybe MLB can consolidate something into a national something or other. So it's going to keep happening, I think, as the people shift in and out and the TV finances keep shifting a lot too.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll make people love baseball more, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sell your team off.
All right, before we get to your picks, you send a note about your theme of these picks, but you also go, and by the way, Florida State got hosed, you mentioned. You're on the Florida State got hosed side of things, yes?
I agree with pretty much everything that you said on Monday. I mean, at the very rudimentary level, you went undefeated in a good conference and played a reasonable schedule. I mean, what more do you want? And to me, if it were really about, you know, best, you can definitely understand they may not be the best team, but then why are they fifth in the rankings? Shouldn't they be like eighth or something like that? If we're just worrying about that. So just kind of the inconsistency of story to make it fit whatever the convenient narrative is right now is pretty frustrating.
I'm with you. Obviously we've made that clear this week, but Kelly sort of advanced the story off air. So what they're doing, something the lawmakers are trying to do.
There's been the politicians sending letters and stuff. And they're trying to like make sure all the communications get saved because they want evidence of how this is discussed and everything. I don't know if I'm fully on board with that, but the Orange Bowl did cancel the news conference for Kirby Smart and Mike Norvell today. Don't know what that's all about, but we might have a boycott situation going on here by Florida State.
I'd love a little drama. actually.
Oh yeah.
I'm kind of on board for it. Boycott, boycott. Let's go for it. I mean, what are we gonna? They're gonna go up against Georgia and get smacked, and everybody's just gonna be like, "See?"
Yeah, totally. Just so not the most. See, it's exactly what they're gonna say. All right, trio of picks, Premier League. Let's go. What you got?
All right, let's fade bad team number one. I'm going to go for a Brentford win at Sheffield United on Saturday. -135 is the price. Sheffield's the worst team in the league. They have the fewest goals, and they've conceded the most goals. So I don't have to tell you, Gil, that's bad.
That's bad.
They do have a new manager. They brought in Chris Wilder, who used to be their manager a little while back, and now he's back. So they didn't look awful against Liverpool in the first game, but I need to see more before I'm convinced that Sheffield United's turned anything around. Brentford's in 11th place, but their underlying numbers are a lot better, as high as top five, depending on what metrics you want to look at. Dealing with some injuries, but I just have a lot of confidence in Brentford. They're solid defensively. They should be able to handle Sheffield United on the counter and do some countering of their own. So I take the better team here, Brentford, to win at -135 against Sheffield United.
The theme continues in the other Saturday game.
If Sheffield's not the worst team in the league anymore, it might be Nottingham Forest. They're at Wolverhampton, and I will take the Wolverhampton win here at -115. Wolves is not great. I picked them for relegation this year, but they changed their manager a lot earlier than I expected. It took like a week instead of a month or two, so that kind of blew that pick. They've scored in 14 straight games since getting shut out in the opener, and they just kind of grind these things out. It's not always pretty. They don't have a ton of shots, though the quality's been decent lately. Forest, they lost 5-0 to Fulham on Wednesday, and Fulham's not great. They've lost 4 straight over RS Forest. Their top scorer is out. And Wolverhampton's just been decent under Gary O'Neill, the new manager who's come in and stabilized the team. So Wolverhampton to win at -115.
All right. And then Sunday, you have a total.
Yeah. And this is kind of the story of the Premier League at the moment, at least, in that Man City's winless in 4 straight. But they're going to Luton Town, who, again, if those other two teams aren't the worst one so far, it might be Luton Town. So I think there's going to be a lot of goals in this. Luton Town did play Arsenal pretty well midweek. So you could take Man City to cover 2.5 if you want to get a slightly better price. But I'd just rather play the over at 3.5 at +110. Essentially, I'm trading 3-0 to get the 3-1 result in case Luton Town sneaks a goal here, which I think they very well could. City's just in a weird spot. They played maybe the worst game I've seen them play under Pep midweek, losing to Villa. They were outshot 22-2, which is the fewest shot a Pep Guardiola team has ever had in a league game. So I'm not convinced anything's wrong with City yet, but if there's another performance or two like that, then we might have some issues. But I just think there's going to be goals here. It's one of those revenge type of narratives where they're going to come out and rack up some goals, and Luton Town's going to be on the receiving end of a beatdown. So over 3.5 goals at +110.
All right, Saturday, with the theme being picking on bad teams and exploiting bad teams, Saturday, Brentford over Sheffield United. Paul is taking Brentford there. Saturday also, Wolverhampton over Nottingham Forest. And then Sunday, the over 3.5 goals in the Man City Luton Town game. I always bring up this guy because I just always find it funny. One of the valets in my building. Well, how's that for a relatable phrase, by the way, Kelly?
How's it feeling?
One of the valets in my building. It's like I'm Hudson Swafford on the PGA Tour.
That's pretty easy.
He's the Arsenal fan. The Arsenal fan. His name is Kim. They're in first place, are they now?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're first place by a couple points and six points over City.
You know how he's greeted this? He's like, oh, we're totally messing it up. Like, there's no joy whatsoever. He cannot bring himself to have any joy over this.
It just means he is a true Arsenal fan. But they're in decent spot. I mean,
that's what I keep saying.
Plus 550 title bet on them, and I think they're plus 250-ish now.
Yeah,
so.
Plus 250.
I'm like, Kim, is this going to happen? He's like, no, it's not. It's not going to happen.
Paul, even money on Man City, is that the best we're going to see the rest of the year?
It's totally not happening.
I don't think it's going to get, I don't think it's been even money or plus money in a long time. Even last year, a lot of times, it was usually still pretty juicy.
Paul, appreciate it as always. Good luck on all the bets. Enjoy, man.
Thank you. Same to you.
Paul Carr, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. Again, True Media Networks, the Expected Value Podcast. Teasers and crack unscripted next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook's got your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of week. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. And it goes a little something like this. No, it doesn't. No, wait, where's the intro? No, no intro today. There it is. Oh, yeah. All right. Better late than never. What's happening, Billy? You good?
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for having me down here.
Thanks for being.
We're downtown here in the fabulous D in this bucket of blood town here. You know, I like to say that. But no, you know, it really is. You know, I'm walking through with my buddy. I have a buddy of mine that's here with me. And we're walking through and seeing the Sigma Derby. I don't realize, like, when someone sees that, they say, wait a minute, I used to see that 25 years ago. Like, I don't realize the significance behind that game, how cool. And I told them on the weekends, you can't get a spot there.
No.
I mean, have you ever seen
that? Sometimes during the show, you can't get a
really?
Spot there.
No, yeah. You can't get a spot. And you have to feed quarters in still, and you get quarters out.
Let's explain to people what Sigma Derby is.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, this leads into a story from yesterday that I don't think Gil even fully realized.
I didn't fully appreciate that while I was talking about something yesterday. There was just mayhem happening at the Sigma Derby table.
Oh, really?
Gil's talking all serious. I don't remember what we were talking about because I was so distracted.
I was giving a tribute to Adam Burke.
That's right. He was still alive and a survivor.
And I was pouring my heart out how deserving he is of such a thing.
And in the background, Bill, all I'm hearing is clink, 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 clink. And I'm looking over there. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, it's straight out of a movie because, like, we don't have these machines anymore with quarters.
Right.
And there's some guy over there with a bucket. And it's just, it was going on for 5-6 solid minutes during
the show. I
gotta
go back and listen.
He must have hit a 200-to-1 shot or something.
It must have been. Yeah, must have been.
And how about when Randy comes on and says about how he manipulated the machine. He walked up to a machine, the Sigma Derby.
Sigma Derby is how would we describe Sigma Derby? It's a horse race
game, the old fashioned horse race game where the horses start in a starting gate, go around once, and go to the finish line. And the exact is what you get paid on. So you get paid on two horses coming out 1-2, 2-1, like 3-4, and you get paid on that exact. And every single derby that they have, every 60-90 seconds. Oh, there's a video of it. Every 90. How do you guys have that video?
It's a live show.
Look at it. Come on. Is there anything more exciting than that there?
Every 90 seconds, there's a new odds board. You can see there's four different sides where the odds board is. And then you can bet. You can see there's the odds right there. And
By the way, is this one of the original remaining?
Yeah.
So there's only two remaining in town?
Is there two? I thought it was one.
This is the only one?
This is the only one the public can access. There are multiple other original machines that are privately owned.
Here, this one, the D, has the last original one
in public.
I believe
so, yes.
Wow.
Right here adjacent to the barrage. So far Canada.
Why do you think it's a party over there every morning?
Yeah.
But what I was saying was, you know, people look for these things that are, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word because I don't want to spoil anyone's game. But you know what? I'm going to talk about it anyway, about the Durango. So let me just tell you what it is. So you look for things that are overpayers or things that are wrong. Well, sure enough, like Randy found one that was paying like every race 1-2 came out. And he's like, wait a minute, 1-2 again? 1-2 again? It was stuck on a 1-2 cycle.
Randy.
They emptied all the quarters from the entire game.
Yeah.
Because he actually, you know, circumvented the, well, it's not circumvented. This 1-2 was stuck on the 1-2 payout. So, literally, that's one of the reasons why I even know you guys, too. I had the same situation with Blackjack. So
easy, Randy, all folks. He's just being like, yeah, 1-2 just keeps coming up.
I mean, that and we know the type of like the amount of money like that Randy bets is real money. Yeah. So what can you get down over there? I think it's the max is like
20 coins.
20 coins.
So you can put 20 coins on a 2-1. Now, think about it. If it comes out 200-to-1, there's not enough coins in there to pay it. It's not, you know,
there's not 4,000
coins to pay you. Yeah, they're called Derek at home.
Here I am pouring my heart out for Adam Burke.
So there's Randy like punching in $5 at a time.
Right.
I don't know why that's funny.
Wait, so our buddy Joe Fortenbaugh, does he have one of these?
Maybe. He's one of the other private owners.
So I don't know
that story. I don't know why you're asking me.
Oh, I thought you told me that.
Maybe I read it somewhere. Oh,
okay. I know he loves Sigma Derby. I don't know. I thought you told me that. But somebody has this at their house, right? Somebody has bought one.
Apparently there was some up for auction that all got bought privately.
Yeah. The rest of them in town are the electronic version of this, right?
Yeah, there's another one over there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not nearly as exciting as what we just witnessed on VSiN.com just now.
That's right.
Those horses were something else. Okay, Durango, you just brought it up. We have a new casino in Las Vegas.
Right. Durango. They don't want to be called Durango Station. It's a station's property. They just want to be called Durango.
Okay.
So I was there yesterday. I went a day after. Figured it would be a little bit slower. I did a live feed from Twitter, so which is pretty interesting. I've never done that before. You actually go there. You can push live on Twitter and do a live. It was pretty cool seeing. Only I didn't realize that it stays on your Twitter. Because I talked about some things that were very, very inside. And I said, well, I'm going to talk about these things because this is a live feed. It's not going to be on my Twitter. Oh, God, it's not. Well, here and here I am advertising it. So I gave away some really good machine tips on that live feed, which is now on my Twitter feed.
Still love it, Bill Crackman with a K.
Oh, yeah, that Bill Crackman. So, but
how would we describe it to tourists? It's on the 215, which is a east-west freeway.
Is that the southwest of town?
Yeah. That's what you'd call it, right?
South?
I don't know if it's south, but it's west.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would we consider that south? I'm not sure we would.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's like directly west.
It's 15 minutes from the Strip, though. I was shocked by...
South of the Strip, yes.
Right. 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Barely.
How big the windows were, and you walk, you usually don't see the open air like casino like that. Both sides have giant floor-to-ceiling windows. It was really nice. It's opening day.
I sat next to somebody at Momofuku the other night who was opening one of the restaurants. He was explaining to me all the different restaurants there. And he goes, the sports book is outstanding.
Sports book. That's where I started the video. Really cool. Really nice.
Inside, outside kind of thing.
A lot of detail, a lot of attention to detail there. Now if I can only bet there again, I have to try to see if I can get the Fertitta brothers on the phone and see if we can get some action. You know, really, you think Dana White, I'm going to have to ask Dana. Beard me back in here.
Beard me back in.
Now, nicer than Red Rock?
I like Red Rock.
So I really like Red Rock, too.
Red Rock guy.
I did hear someone say it is way nicer than Red Rock, was the exact quote.
It's just nice.
I couldn't believe that.
They don't want to be called a food court either. So it was not a food court. It was I forget the words of it. There was actually these big words for what they call the food court. I went in there, and it's a really nice, all upscale, like a lot of upscale places. So someone told me to go to this Irv's Burgers because it's a big place in L.A., mm-hmm. big signs, Irv's. And, you know, I'm trusting people named Irv, Moish, Hyman. These are like my people over here, so I got a choice. I got to trust these kind of guys for food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Henry. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
Two questions.
Yeah.
One, the sports book being as awesome as it is.
Yes.
By all counts.
Yes.
Derek Stevens, do we say at this point that he has completely established the standard of sports books now and
good.
That every new casino will have this?
Very good. Absolutely.
And then the second part of this is, if, you know, certain casinos are known for certain things. So Circa is known for the sports book and the pool. Let's say Resorts World is known for the food court.
Yes.
What do you think Durango's signature item is?
I don't know. That food court there is really cool. I mean, they had a lot of cool things and probably restaurants. They have a cool Mexican restaurant with a speakeasy. They have a lot of good restaurants there that I've seen. I didn't eat at them yet, but it's, and I noticed not a lot of smoke. You know, local casinos are full of smoke. The locals are just, it's nervous energy. It's, you know, the first of the month, everyone's smoking, gambling, trying to, you know, raise their checks up a little bit. You know, I speak like it is unscripted here. Sorry, I have to talk like it is. But that place, I noticed, there wasn't that smoky. Mm. It wasn't that bad, smoke-wise.
Hope that continues.
Yeah, I hope that continues. And, you know, at first, casinos, when they first open up, they try not to upset anyone. So maybe even, guys, you may get away with a little overcomping in the beginning. So if you're playing, you're overcomped a little bit, maybe try our restaurants. And it's just an idea. You know, I'm not saying that that's the way it's going to be down there. But really, I like the place. And it just showed me yesterday. I walked in at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the second day that it was open. I said, does anybody work? It was packed. You couldn't move.
I mean, that
every single machine taken
in so many places.
Does anybody work?
Does anybody here have a job? Anybody? Nobody?
Yeah. I mean, this is a local place. It's not like it's a strip property that's going to. I expect when Fountain Blue opens up. Do we have the date on that, guys?
It's coming up.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
By the way, the Fountain Blue's
next week or something.
Fountain Blue's an interesting place because that area of the strip is quote unquote, like the cursed area of the strip. It never works there.
Wet and wild.
December 13th.
You think it'll work there?
People love new properties. I think, you know, Resorts World's doing great.
Yeah.
We have a clarification from John Goulet. He says when the Sigma Derby in Lake Tahoe was being taken out, Fortinbaugh tried to buy it because he loves the game so much. I asked, did he succeed? And Goulet responds, he did not.
Okay.
He did not. He did not. Levitard is next on the DK Network. We're coming back. More Crackman, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.